Well, good morning, everyone. Now you can hear me. My name is Lauren. It's great to be here with you today as we continue in our series called Heroes. And today we're going to talk about something that every hero encounters, and that is surprises. When it comes to surprises, there's typically two groups. There's those of us who love surprises and those of us who don't love surprises. In fact, by a show of hands, how many of you in this room love surprises? Okay, a few of you. How many of you do not like surprises out there? All right. You know what happens to the people who love surprises and don't love surprises? They get married. That's right. You're like, oh, that's our issue in our marriage. Got it. Okay, that's all free, folks. Yeah, that is definitely true. That happened for my husband, Stuart, and I. Stuart hates surprises, absolutely hates them, and I love them. In fact, so much so that when we were in a season of dating and knew we were going to ultimately get married, I told Stuart, I'm like, hey, when you propose to me, like, you can fly me to France. He's like, I'm not. I'm like, okay, well, just if you need an idea, buddy. You know, I was like, you can write my name in the sky. He's like, not planning on that either. Anyways, I was like, but whatever you do, please surprise me. Like, I don't want to see a ring in the car. I don't want to hear someone talk about it. I want to be completely surprised. He's like, you are so high maintenance. I'm like, buddy, you don't even know, you know? So anyways, we're dating. That's all happening. Stuart buys a house, and I was over there the second night after we moved in there. I was painting, and I left the house, went home to my parents' house. I was living with my parents. I know it's a complete millennial move, people, but it saved a ton of money. So I feel like it was actually financially wise. So I go home. I'm at my parents' house. I go to bed, take off all my makeup, go to sleep. And I get a phone call from Stuart like an hour later, and he's like, Lauren, you got to come over here right away. I'm like, what happened? He's like, well, remember the washer that I told you I did it correctly and we didn't need anyone help? And I was like, oh yeah, I remember that conversation. He's like, well, the washer, the hose fell out and the entire house is flooded. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. He's like, please bring all the towels from your parents' house and come over as soon as you can. So I'm like, all right, absolutely, no problem. But as I went to get out of bed, I thought, hold on one second. Is the house really flooded? Or am I getting engaged tonight? That's right, people. And you know what? I was like, tonight is the night. So what did I do? I hopped in the shower. Of course I'm getting pictures tonight. Are you kidding? I got in the shower, shaved my legs. I know, TMI, but you need to know. And, I'm like, I'm all in, right? I get on a great outfit. And I go to go out the door, and I think, you know what? I'm getting an engagement party tonight, you know? So might as well have, like, a clever line. So my line was going to be like, hey, Stuart, here's a washcloth. Do you have anything for me, you know? And, like, wait for him to give me the ring. I thought it was clever. So I got in the car driving. I'm thinking, who's going to be there tonight? I bet everyone's in the backyard, like, ready to surprise me. This is going to be so awesome. I pull into the garage of our house, and I open the door, and I notice a puddle. I'm like, that's odd, you know? Shut the door. Don't think a thing of it. Look up. I'm like walking up the stairs, and all of a sudden I'm like, wow, there's water coming everywhere. I open the door to our house, and it is no joke, people, flooded. I mean, there is water everywhere. And I'm like, Stuart, our house is flooded. And he's like behind the door at this point. He looks at me. He's like, where have you been? I was like, oh gosh, you know, because in this moment I realized two things. One, the house is flooded, which was, I mean, obviously you picked up on that, but this girl, not that fast. Secondly, I'm not getting engaged tonight. It just dawns on me. So he looks at me, he's like, where are the towels? I'm like, oh gosh. I'm like, the washcloth thing is not going to go over well at this point. So I was like, yeah, I didn't bring them. He's like, why did you not bring them? And I told him, I said, well, because I thought you were going to propose to me tonight. Ladies, I'm not kidding you. He looks at me in this way like I'm the most grotesque animal on the entire planet. He's like, why would I propose to you? You know, I'm like, back off there, buddy. I'm like, because you love me, you know? Like, so I'm sobbing. He's like, please stop crying. There's enough water already at this house, right? It's a disaster. Suffice it to say, he did not put a ring on it that night, or for a while after that. We're still kind of working through it. Yeah, so that was not my engagement story. But I tell you that story to say, whether you love surprises today or whether you absolutely hate them, I think we could all agree that none of us like an unwelcome surprise, right? Like none of us want an unwelcome surprise. And we've all experienced these, right? Where you thought that, you know, maybe the government was going to give you money this year, but no, surprise, you owe money in taxes, right? It's like every year. You know, where you thought you were going to get engaged one night, and no, instead you're buying new hardwood floors. Or you thought you were going to hear Andy Stanley, but surprise, you got me. So we all have some unwelcome surprises. Yeah, you're welcome. So we all have some unwelcome surprises in life, right? They're inevitable. All of us are going to have them. None of us are immune to life's unwelcome surprises. But a hero is someone who knows how to respond to life's unwelcome surprises. A hero knows how to respond. And in this series, we've been saying that all of us have the potential to be heroes. So if all of us can be heroes, how as heroes do we respond to life's unwelcome surprises? And that's the question we're going to answer today. How does a hero respond to life's unwelcome surprises? And the good news for you and I is that we are not the only ones to experience surprises in life. In fact, one of the most monumental stories of all times records a surprise that I believe all of us today could relate to and learn from. And the surprise story is actually related to our friends, the Israelites. And the story takes place as the story of the Exodus. And if you know what the Exodus is about, I probably don't need to fill you in, but if you're not familiar, the Exodus is a story of the Israelite people, the Jewish people, leaving slavery in Egypt and exiting out of Egypt, ultimately to a land that God has promised them. And so we pick up in our story today as the Israelites are journeying through the wilderness. They've left slavery. They've crossed over Red Sea, and ultimately, they are in the wilderness today. And even though this story takes place thousands of years ago, I believe we can all learn from it today. Now, the Israelites are in the middle of a wilderness. Historians say that there was probably 2 to 2.5 million people, and that's a conservative guess, that are moving through the desert, which is a lot of people, you know? I mean, I just think about how much it takes two toddlers to get out of the door, and I'm like sweating by the end of it. So, I mean, this is a lot of people, and they're ultimately going to this land that God has promised them, but they've got quite a ways to go because they're all on foot, right? There's 2.5 million of them, and they're stuck in the wilderness. And you know what? It's hot. There's a lot of people. There's crying children. There's animals. You know, it's just overwhelming. And you and I can't relate to what a wilderness felt like back then, but we do have a modern day wilderness, people. And it's Costco on a Saturday. I mean, can I get a witness? That place is insane. I mean, there's like long lines. There's a lot of crying children. Half of them are probably mine. The sample sizes are so much smaller on a Saturday than they are on a Friday. Like, it's just upsetting. But anyway, so we have a modern day wilderness, I would say, here, and it's Costco. But whether you understood what that was like or not, the Israelites, you know, they're in the middle of the wilderness and they're getting a little grouchy. They've got a man named Moses who's their leader, and Moses sees the people and he's like, you know what? We need a little morale boost in this moment. So Moses finds 12 men, and these 12 men, he says, I want you to go check out the land we're ultimately taking everyone to. I want you to tell me what the land is like, and I want you to come back, and we think that this report will really get everyone excited and give us the energy needed to make it to the promised land. And that is where we pick up in our story today. The spies are coming in and they're going to tell Moses and everyone what it's like in the promised land. And you can imagine how excited the people are, right? Like you got taken from slavery to a land that God has promised you, and it's God. I mean, when does God not do something great, right? So it's like, this is going to be awesome. So that's where we pick up where the spies start, right here in Numbers 13. This is what the spies say about the land. We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit, and they show him some fruit. Nevertheless, wait one second. What's this nevertheless about? We're about to find out. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And the descendants of Anak refer to the giants, that there were people that were giants. We continue. The story goes from bad to worse. Amalek is living in the land of Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. And in this moment, the Israelites experience what you and I experience as well. They experience an unwelcome surprise. Their unwelcome surprise includes for them an inhabited land. They weren't just like getting some new territory. They find out, oh no, there's already people in the land. That's a pretty big bummer. Not just that, there's not just people, there's actual giants in the land as well. And not just that, there's fortified cities. So we've got like a big thing we're going against. And if all of that was not enough, we're surrounded on all sides by enemies. And all of a sudden, the Israelites experience an unwelcome surprise, a surprise that they did not see coming. And you know what that's like, right? Where you think your day is going one way and surprise, it changes. Maybe it's your, you know, something that you're doing at your job and it's like, this is what I'm doing. Oh, wow. And then all of a sudden you encounter an unwelcome surprise. We all know what it's like to experience an unwelcome surprise. That was true for our friends, the Israelites. But for them, this was a really hard, unwelcome surprise to encounter. And that's true for many of us too, especially if you're a Christian today, right? Because maybe you feel like God's promised you something. Maybe you felt like God was leading you to that job or leading you to that relationship. And all of a sudden you experience an unwelcome surprise and you're thinking, God, did I not hear you? Was I wrong? What happened? Was I not listening well enough? That's exactly where our friends, the Israelites, are in this moment. They encounter an unwelcome surprise. And all of a sudden, they begin feeling what you and I would feel in this moment. They start feeling helpless. They start feeling powerless. And they are surprised by this moment. They didn't see it coming. So here's how our friends, the Israelites, respond. We are not able to go against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying out is land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. In essence, they're like, yeah, this may have been land that God was taking us to, but we're gonna get devoured. I mean, there's like literal giants there. I don't think we can do this. And the Israelites begin to react with fear. They react with fear. Of course they reacted with fear, but they don't just react with fear. They give fear a word picture. Check it out in this next verse. They say this, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. We became like grasshoppers in our own sight. They felt so small, so little amongst these giants. They're like, we're gonna get devoured in a second. But you know what it's like to feel like a grasshopper, don't you? I mean, you know what it's like to have an unwelcome surprise and all of a sudden you're looking at a giant that you didn't see coming. You're looking at a situation, an obstacle in front of you, and you feel little, right? You know what it's like to feel unseen? It feels like maybe God doesn't even know what's going on in my life. All of us know what it's like to feel like a grasshopper. Maybe you came in here today and there's a financial weight that's on you. There's a mound of debt that you're trying to overcome, and you feel like a grasshopper in spite of what's ahead of you. Maybe you're in a marriage thing today, and you know what? There's an unwelcome surprise that happened in your marriage, and neither one of y'all saw it coming. And you know what? You're looking at it right now, and you're thinking, I don't think it's worth it to fight again for this. I don't think it's worth it to go the next round. I don't know if we're going to survive it. We all know what it's like to experience a grasshopper moment in life. That's exactly how our friends, the Israelites, felt. God had promised them this land, right? But all of a sudden, the land is full of people with enemies on all sides. So they react with fear. Of course they did. Who wouldn't? But for those of us who know the story of the Israelites, we know something that they forgot in this moment. We get to read on the pages of Scripture something that they actually got to experience. We know something that in this moment they did not remember. And it's this, that God had promised them this land. Now that's significant to note because this was not some random territory that Joanna Gaines was setting up homes for them. You know what I'm saying? Like that was not the case. You know, it might've had Shiplap. I don't know. But either way, I'm just saying this was not some random place. This was a specific land that God had promised them. And he didn't just promise it to them. He backed it up. In fact, the Israelites had been in slavery for 400 years. And God said, I'm going to take you out of slavery. I'm going to take you to this promised land. And what he does is he raises up a man, a leader in the man of Moses. And on the pages of history, Moses shows up and confronts Pharaoh, who is the most powerful man in the world. And you guys already know the story, right? You know what Pharaoh says. we know that Pharaoh lets the people go, but this is shocking. I mean, if we really were to think about it, he's the most powerful man in the world. The entire nation of Israel is his slave labor. And Moses goes before him and says, on behalf of God, let my people go. And Moses and Pharaoh says yes to that. That's incredible. God comes through for them. Not just that. Then Moses begins leading them on foot out of Egypt and ultimately to this promised land. And God's taking care of them. And then they hit the Red Sea. And they can't get past it. And it's 2.5 million of them. And they're faced with the Red Sea. And in the same moment, Pharaoh changes his mind. And the most powerful man in the world gets together the most powerful army in the world. And with chariots, not on foot, but on chariots, they're coming after him. And all of a sudden, the people are seeing this Red Sea and they can't get by. And they're seeing the dust of the chariots come. And they're like, God, what's going to happen? Did you just lead us here just to annihilate us in this moment? But God acts again and he parts the Red Sea. And the Pharaoh's army is still coming, but the people start walking and they keep on walking and they keep on walking. And when the last person steps foot on the opposite side of the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army is coming in and God shuts the Red Sea and takes over Pharaoh's army. They're enveloped in the Red Sea and none of them survive. And the Israelites, not one of them has to raise a finger. Not one of them draws a sword. Not one of them dies that day. And not just that, they are able to enrich themselves on Pharaoh's army. It's an incredible come through for God, that God takes care of them at the Red Sea. And here's what we know that the Israelites in this moment forgot, and it's this, that God had already done for them at the Red Sea what he needed to do for them in the Promised Land. They had already experienced God show up for them in the past. They knew that he could show up for them again. But our friends, the Israelites, experienced different giants this time. It's a different enemy. It's not Pharaoh's army. It's different people on all borders. And they find themselves where I believe all of us find ourselves in those moments. They find themselves wondering, I don't think God can take care of this next thing. And they begin to react with fear. I think all of us can relate to that. And if you're a Christian today, this may be your story. It has certainly been mine, where I've experienced God do these significant things in my life, but I hit a new giant. I hit another unwelcome surprise. I'm like, God, I don't think you're big enough for this one. I mean, thanks for those, but you can't handle what's in front of me right now. And that's where our friends, the Israelites, are. When you and I react with fear, God gets small and our giants get big. When we react with fear, God gets so little. He feels so unseen in those moments and our giants are massive. They are larger than life. When this happens, we start to believe that fear is the only option, the only way for us to respond. And when fear becomes the only option for us, we give fear the pen to our story. We give fear the pen to our story and we say, okay, fear, you write this next decade. You write that chapter at work. You write what's going to happen in my marriage because the giant's too big, the surprise was too sudden, and I don't know how to go forward. That's what happened to our friends, the Israelites. They gave fear the pen to their story. And fear never tells a good story. You may not be a religious person today. This may be your first time in church, and we are so glad you're here. And to be honest with you today, I don't know how you respond to fear. I don't know how you respond to your unwelcome surprises in life. But I think you and I could both agree that fear never writes a great story. But if you are a Christian today, there is another response for you. There is another way to look at your giants, to respond to your unwelcome surprises. For the Israelites, they chose to react in fear. They chose to react in fear, and they settled in a land, and they settled for a life right next door to a place that God had promised them. Gosh, that's hard to believe, but that's what they chose to do. The Israelites chose to react with fear. But for all of us today, this does not have to be our choice. There's another option out there, and that's great news for us today. There's another option for us, and if we're going to step into the heroic potential that we all have, there's another choice we must make today. There's a way to respond as a hero, and there actually are two heroes in this story. As I was sharing earlier, there were 12 men that went to check out the land, and 10 of them came back and gave the report that we just saw. But there were two men who saw the exact same thing, but they saw it differently. They saw the giants, they saw the fortified cities, but they saw it differently. Our two friends are actually the two heroes of this story, and their names are Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb saw the exact same thing. They saw it differently. Here is what Caleb said about their experience in Numbers 13. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it," meaning the land, "for we will surely overcome it." Wow. Caleb, did you swallow an extra pomegranate? Like, what's going on over there, bud? You know, he's like, no. By all means, we should do this. By all means, Caleb. I love how Caleb responds to this. Not like, we got a 50-50 chance. If the giants aren't too big, No, he's like, no, by all means, we should go up and take this land. Confident, clear as to what God had promised them. How can you say that? Well, we'll surely overcome it. Of course we could go take the land because we're going to overcome it. Remember, God was with us in Egypt. He took care of us at the Red Sea. Surely we will overcome it. Wow, Caleb, that's strong. Caleb and Joshua were the heroes of this story because they chose to respond with trust. They responded with trust. You see, as surprising as it may feel, as strange as it may sound, in every unwelcome surprise that we encounter, we actually have a choice. It may not feel like that today. We may feel hopeless. You may feel helpless in your situation. I may feel powerless today. It may feel like the only thing we can do is just react to the giants in front of us. But there is a choice for all of us today. And our heroes of the story chose to respond with trust. What does it mean to trust? Trust is believing what God says, even when we can't see as God sees. Trust is believing what God says, even when we can't see what God sees. It's not like our friends, Joshua and Caleb, had some crystal ball and they were asking what's going to happen and they knew the future. They didn't know anything, but they knew that if God promised us this land, then by all means, let's go up and take it. Surely we will overcome it. That's the confidence they had in God's promises. They trusted God's promises. What I love about our friends Caleb and Joshua is they did not say, fortified cities, that's weird. I didn't see those. You know, they weren't like denying that there were giants. They didn't say, enemies, I didn't see any enemies. They're like, no, I saw giants, I saw enemies. They didn't deny that happened, but they didn't allow their giants to define them. That's true of all heroes. Heroes do not deny that giants exist, but they refuse to be defined by them. That's true for you and I as well. For us to be heroes today, that doesn't mean that we say, I'm not facing anything. I'm good. Everything's great. You know, I love being here at church and put on a little fake face, right? Like, we don't have to do that today. I love how our pastor, Jeff Henderson, says that this church is not a place for perfect people. It's a hospital for broken people. You can come in here with brokenness today. I can come in here and say, I'm facing some giants today. There's some things in front of me, and I don't know how God's going to come through for me. But the giants in front of us, the unwelcome surprises that we encounter, do not have to define us, and they do not have to define the story we tell. As heroes, we do not have to allow our giants to define us today. Joshua and Caleb did not allow their giants to define them. They held on tightly to God's promises. And because they trusted God's promises, Caleb and Joshua were the only two out of an entire generation that got to go into the promised land. Because they trusted God's promises, Caleb and Joshua got to see firsthand what it was like to defeat giants and what it was like to take down fortified cities. because they trusted God's promises. Caleb and Joshua are the names we still use to name our children today. What a legacy Caleb and Joshua show us. They trusted God's promises, and because they did, they had a story to tell. So what has God promised us today? For the people of Israel, he had promised them that specific land. He had said, I'm taking you to this place. But if you're a Christian today, God has made some promises to you. And in the midst of the unwelcome surprises that we encounter, and in the midst of the giants that face us, we can hold on, we can anchor ourselves to these promises. I love how our pastor Andy Stanley says, you should read your Bibles because there's great stuff in there, right? But there's some great promises of God in the Bible as well. Just to name a few of them that we can hold on to today in the midst of our unwelcome surprises, I want to share with you just a few. First, we can believe that he is with us. We can hold on to the promise that God is with us. In John chapter 16, it says this, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. In essence, in this world, you will experience unwelcome surprises. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Okay, God, so I'm going through my day and I experienced that giant, but I can take heart. You've overcome it. You're still with me in this. Not only is he with us, he wants to meet our needs. In the book of Philippians, it says this, and God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but when I experience a giant, I pretty much think, God, you have no clue what I need to get through this. You have no idea what it's going to take for us to get past this. And our Heavenly Father says, no, I do know. I don't just know your needs. I actually want to meet them. Not only does he promise that he is going to be with us and wants to meet our needs, he promises that he'll never leave us, that he will never leave us. I love this passage in Hebrews that says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we can say in confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Friends, he wants to meet us today. He wants to be with us. He wants to meet our needs. He will never leave us. And these are just some of the promises that we can hold on to in the midst of our unwelcome surprises. If you and I choose to respond with trust by holding on to the promises of God, then I believe, just like Joshua and Caleb, we will have, in fact, stories to tell and ultimately legacies to leave. So my question for you today is this: how would you respond if you were confident that God's promises could be trusted? How would you respond? How would you respond to that giant that's facing you right now in that relationship? How would you respond to the surprise that happened to you at work this past week? How would you respond if you were confident? Surely, by all means, Caleb said, if you were confident that God's promises could be trusted. How would you respond? Joshua and Caleb responded by trusting God's promises. That's the choice they chose to make. And here's what's true about every hero. Every hero knows that the choice they make will determine the story they tell. That was true for our friends Joshua and Caleb. They knew whatever choice we make, there was 12 of us, and all 10 of them are saying this, but the choice we make right now will determine the story we tell. The same potential is true for you and I. The choices we make will determine the stories we tell. And that was true for our friends, Caleb and Joshua, and it's true for you and I as well. And here's the thing. I want you to have stories to tell. I want you to have stories of the time where you faced that giant and you didn't know how God was going to come through for you, but he did. Where you faced that thing in your marriage and it felt hopeless, and yet you're able to tell your children, we made it through. I want you to have stories to tell. And I want you to have stories to tell because I know firsthand what it's like to be impacted by a hero's story. Today, as we close, I want to share with you a story. This is the story of my hero. His name is Commander Andrew Frailer. Commander Frailer was part of the greatest generation that ever lived. He was a son of immigrants and was the first in his family to go to college. He was recruited by the Naval Academy to be there, and not only just be there, but to play baseball there. In fact, he was captain of the Naval Academy 2 years in a row. This is actually a picture of him throwing with, President Truman throwing out the game ball for the day. He was so beloved by his teammates that 60 years later, they would raise $500,000 to create a room in his honor there. He loved his time at the academy, but he went on to serve our country. In fact, for 23 years, he served our country in World War II and in the Korean War and in Vietnam. And every 3 years in part of the military, he'd move his family. And in moving his family, he would quickly find a home. But soon after that, he'd find a church that he could invest the rest of his time in. After retiring from the military, where most would go on to make a pretty lucrative career or possibly even retire to Florida, he chose a different option. He was quoted as saying, I spent the first half of my life, giving to my country. I want to spend the next half of my life giving to the next generation. And that's exactly what he did. He went on to become a teacher that taught both math and science to the next generation. For years on end, and he was so beloved by his students. But not just did he love his students, he wanted to tell them what God was like. After retiring from education, he spent the remainder of his time with his wife, his bride of 63 years, and together they would teach English and science and math to Hispanic children in their community. In the last 10 years of his life, his health was failing him significantly. In fact, his eyesight was going. But he decided, I still have some time left in me. So he went out and bought a magnifying glass that would allow him to do taxes for the widows in his church. This man was an incredible hero. He was a national hero, as anyone is, that serves our country in the ways that he does. But he wasn't just a national hero. He was a personal hero to me. And I remember Commander Frailer telling me stories of how he had trusted God in his season of being over at Japan, trusting God to just literally make it through the next day, what it meant to trust God when he made a massive career change and all the financial ramifications of that. I remember listening to him tell me, what is it like to trust God when you're in your last days and you don't have a lot left, but you know you still have some to pour out? What does that look like? He showed me what it was like to trust God. But this man wasn't just a personal hero. He was my grandfather. And if you knew him, you would consider yourself among the luckiest of all people. He was an incredible man. I loved him so very much. 5 years ago, a hospice let us know that he was in his final days. We spent a lot of time with him, and on one particular Wednesday afternoon, we were over at his house just singing hymns with him. And this day, his voice was completely gone. He wasn't singing, but we were all singing around him, and he was holding onto my grandmother's hand. But there was one song that we sang, and it was called In the Garden. You may be familiar with it. It's an old hymn, but it basically describes what it's like to have a relationship with God. And the lyrics say this, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. When we started singing this song, my grandfather's voice started to speak. And I heard him sing it, and it was the last time I ever heard him speak. And he began singing that song. And that song was so special to me as it reminded me of what his relationship with Jesus was like, that he just walked with God and talked with God. And in the midst of his giants, he said, God, through your promises, will you remind me I'm yours? Will you remind me I am your very own? Moments after singing this song, still hand in hand with his bride of 63 years, he went to heaven. And in that moment, his God, who he had walked with and talked with, he was face to face with. And I can only imagine what that must have been like. This man is not just a hero to me. He's not just larger than life. He has modeled for me what it's like to trust God's promises, even when it made sense to react in fear. He never gave fear the pen to his story. And I believe that's why he had a story to tell. And honestly, a hero's welcome when he stepped into heaven. The next generation, the boys and girls that sit at our kitchen tables, the ones that we tuck into bed at night, the ones you lead, the ones you coach, the ones that you're invested in, they cannot afford for us to not be heroes. The next generation cannot afford for us to continue to give fear the pen to our stories. There's a generation coming behind us that can do more for this world and more for the kingdom of God than we could ever imagine if and only if we're able to model for them what it looks like to trust God's promises, even when the giants are big, even when it makes sense to react in fear. Our opportunity today is to choose to trust God even when it doesn't make sense. That's what a hero does. It takes a hero to go back in a marriage and fight for it. It takes a hero to love a child when they are unlovable. It takes a hero to do what's right when no one else is. And it takes a hero to trust God even when his ways are unclear. All of us can be heroes today. All of us can choose to trust God. As the band comes, we're going to sing a song. The song is called No Longer Slave. And there's a line in this song that I want you to maybe hear for the very first time. It says this: I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. No longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. In your story today, and the giants that are in front of you, with the unwelcome surprise that hit you this past week, how are you responding? Does fear have the pen to your story? Are you trusting God? Are you being a slave to fear? Are you reminding yourself through God's promises, I am your child. You see me. You know me. You will meet my needs. You will never leave me. All of us can be heroes today.